It's an NRL round review.
All over.
Round 14 done and dusted, MG. Long weekend of footy. It feels... It's a strange feeling, a long weekend, when you got the football spread over 4 days, 5 days.
Well, no, there was none on Thursday, but we had Origin Wednesday. Mm. We had two games Friday, then the weekend was in full tilt after that. Then always having a game on Monday makes the weekend even go longer, doesn't it?
Stretches it out. Remember when they used to do Monday night footy every week?
Yeah, I think I'd rather Thursday
than
Monday.
Yeah, I agree. There are days, there are Mondays where I go, geez, I wish there was a game of footy on tonight. But
yeah,
then,
same.
For the most part, I do enjoy the Thursday night game. Righto, Friday night, the round kicked off. Manly taking on the Cowboys. And, you know, inside the first 10 minutes, it was, ooh, Cowboys, here we come.
Yeah, we called this game, and I mirror everything you just said, because after the first 10 minutes, it was 12-0, the Cowboys, and a couple of really easy tries, which would have been concerning. I think the emotion of the night got to the Manly team, because you know, they're honouring and remembering the great Bobby Fulton. He had his grandkids pre-show, pre-game, doing the half-mast of the flag, and then his young granddaughters bringing the ball out into the field. So a lot of emotion, and I can imagine that the players would have felt some of that, hence why they started so slowly. But then, they went into overdrive, and DCE and Foran were fantastic. Marty DePauw was awesome. This young kid, Ola Kawatu, in the back row, going to be a superstar.
What about that performance from the young second rower? And when you think about, you know, you've spoken just what a huge fan of, I've forgotten his name. Who's the second rower come 5'8"?
Oh, Schuster.
Schuster. Yeah. When you talk about Josh Schuster and when you talk about Moses Suli, Tommy Turbo wasn't playing in this game. When you look at this Manly list, it went from a one-trick pony at the start of the year when no Tommy, no success, to now, green shoots everywhere for Dez.
Well, I made a bold prediction on the scrum on Saturday, and I said that Manly will make the top four. I think they're the way they're playing. Look, it's obviously Tommy's team, but the way they play without him, who have been travelling really well, the Cowboys. You know, the Cowboys, the Warriors are in that type of the same type of, you know, Dragons, Sharkies. They're all in that little group of they can if they can, but if they can't, well, they won't. And they were fantastic. Ruben Garrick playing fullback, ran for nearly 300 metres.
He's kicking him at 80% this year too as well, which matters.
That helps. Mm. That helps. It always helps when you turn four into six.
Mm. Absolutely. For Todd Payton and the Cowboys, I mean, you go back home, you regroup and you move on. You put that result in the rearview mirror as quick as possible.
Yes, because that was woeful.
Not much to be gained from it anyway. We then moved along to the second Friday night game. How are you feeling, big dog? Panthers, two losses on the trot.
Yeah, well, it was 18-0 at halftime, and I think I went, ooh. So, obviously, they're going to come back. I knew they'd come back in the second half. They did on the back of Matt Burton. Billy Kikau was at his barnstorming best, but the Sharkies, good, well done. Pat in the back. Because
absolutely.
They, you know, the week before, the Tigers, everyone was saying it's a false economy because they've got these players out. Well, it's very similar. They had, you know, Cleary, Luai, Yo, To'o, and Capewell all out, but they still had Appy Coruscell. They still had, you know, Dylan Edwards. They still had
Crichton
and Fisher Harris and Kikau. And so they still had a really good first grade team. They were blown off the park in the first half. And Sean Johnson and Aaron Woods, who are being discarded for next season and beyond from the Sharkies, they were two standouts, along with Matty Moylan, who was told that he will be staying on. I love the way Toby Rudolph plays. He's another guy. The one sour note out of the whole game was the head knock to Wade Graham, obviously.
Yeah.
We made of the show and all-around good guy. That didn't look good at all. That was one of them ones where your legs buckle under you when you try and get up, and that's I think that's how he did the damage to his knee. But, yeah, not good to see. But good to see a victory for the Sharkies.
Wade, thoughts with Wade and his family, and hopefully that he will take the necessary amount of time to get right if he chooses to come back, and if he makes another decision, then all power to him. Obviously, off the back of what we've just witnessed with Boyd Cordner and Jake Friend earlier this year, these blokes have got a long life to live after their football careers are over. A couple of points I wanted to quickly mention, MG: the completion rate of the Sharkies must have really please, Josh Hannay. I think they 35 from 37 sets they finished at, 95% completion rate.
Yeah, that's good. That's exceptional. And in today's game, that's what you got to do. That's exactly what you've got to do. The Bulldogs did it yesterday. We'll get to their game soon. But second half, I think they completed 23 from 23 or something like that. That's all you want to do as a coach. If you can get your team, and the Warriors have been famous for this for the last couple of seasons, of getting a really high completion rate, you know, two or three times a season, and usually you don't lose them games.
Yeah, well, it's hard to lose when you're completing like that. Quickly on Matt Burton, for all the people that ranted and raved and threw this young bloke, wrote this young bloke off after the performance against the West Tigers a couple of weeks ago, that second 40 minutes is all the reasons that Canterbury went after him as hard as they did, and all the reasons that he is going to be a first grade half for a long time.
Yeah, I even think even last week he could hold his head high. I think his kicking game was down a bit last week against the Tigers, but I think this week he still scored a good try last week against the Tigers. But this week again, he was on the back of his solo performance. He scored two, set one up, and was that close to getting a victory for the Panthers. But a great little wobbly field goal from Sean Johnson got over the post somehow. I could see the Sharks players blowing the ball over the. But yeah, I would have, I'm a Penrith man through and through. But I think the Sharkies deserve to win that one.
Matt Burton looks bigger.
He's 6'3".
He looks like he's gotten bigger since the start of the year.
He must be 100 kilo, so he's a big for 5'8".
Turning into a monster 5'8". Look, he's a bit Tyson Gamblish. Then we get to Saturday where just heartbreak. MG, absolute heartbreak for my mighty Gold Coast Titans. They were brave. They were playing out of their skin. And then bloody Sam Walker, stupid teenager.
Yeah, he kicked the field goal to win the game, and they were behind by a lot, 30-something to 4 at one stage, and I thought, here we go, this is put the cue in the rack, and away we go, have a couple of beers, and come back the footy later, and it's even. I'm going, what the? So I had to watch the game the next hour or so on fast motion and just find out what I missed, and what I missed was a lot of Titans enterprise. On the back of Jamal Fogarty, who had a field day against the Roosters. But the Roosters did early on as well, so Holbrook would be disappointed. I mean, that's a game. There was no. I actually said on the scrum as well, I said, no Tedesco, that's going to be a big... I think they can still win, but it's going to be a big hill to climb. The Titans had their own little dramas as well, with Brimson being out, Fotowaker being out, starting Tino and Fifita off the bench. So they had their own little dramas, but once they come on, Fifita and in particular Tino Fasua Mala'awi, they were strong. Got to give a special tick of approval to Jared Ruiu-Hargraves. Played a fantastic game in his 250th game. Played every minute, ran for over 200 metres, made 44 tackles. So he would have been my player of the round, along with probably Jake Averillo yesterday. So. Yeah. Well done to him. Well done to the Roosters, because that's one of them games that I reckon Trent Robinson looked at that and went, this is a real danger game. And the fact that he had to bring Sam Walker back on after him going off with a shoulder injury to kick the winning field goal shows how desperate he was for that win, to get that win. He needed that win, because it would have put him back a couple of cogs. And with teams like Manly chasing you, you want to win every game you can.
Jared Ruiu-Hargraves, to sort of emphasise that point you just made about his performance. He is going to be so important for this Roosters team for the remainder of this season. When you consider that Boyd Cordner's announced his retirement, Jake Friend, we know, is already gone, Luke Keary's done for the year, and Brett Morris is out. His leadership of this relatively young, inexperienced team, obviously with James Tedesco captaining the side from fullback, but to be there...
Oh, it's his team. It's his team.
You'd think he's the guts and the heartbeat of this team moving forward. And look, you know, they're still sitting fifth. They're two games clear of Manly in sixth. So they are fighting it. They're only a game behind the Eels and the Rabbitohs. So they're fighting it out for that top four. They're not just going to roll over, and any Trent Robinson side is a dangerous one. We roll along into Saturday night. The Rabbitohs hosting the Newcastle Knights. This origin period is going to be really interesting for the Rabbitohs side. They got the job done 24-10, but
they did what they had to do.
They did what they had to do.
Yeah, they did what they had to do, and they just played a really basic game. A lot of the game was played in the middle third of the field. I kind of think they thought to themselves, we're playing an undermanned Newcastle team. If we try and throw the ball around and drop it in this dewy weather, we're going to give them chances that they don't deserve. And they played a really good game, I thought. Without being overly excitable about their performance, they did enough. They did enough to get the W, as they say. And the Knights, well, they're sweating on Mitchell Pearce, hopefully coming back this week to play for them, because they've missed his leadership big time.
Yeah, you start to get a bit concerned. It might be too little, too late for Newcastle. Just on the Rabbitohs, though, I say it's an interesting period because they've suffered 250-plus, or they've had 50 points put on them twice this year, right? And we all know the well-trodden stat, which is that if you have 50 points put on you, you never win the comp. I get the sense that Wayne Bennett would be almost targeting this Origin period as an opportunity to build a new foundation to start their second run at the season. They've had some hiccups, they've had some injuries, they've had some suspensions. And now with Luttrell probably regaining form and confidence in the Origin arena, and Cam Murray regaining fitness in the Origin arena as well, you get the sense that off the back of it, you feel like the Bunnies might make another run.
Well, if there's one team that can buck the trend and win after having 50 scored on them, it's a Wayne Bennett coach team. We just watched what he did with that Queensland team last year, and the belief that he must instill upon his players must be just overwhelming. And I've said it 1,000 times, I would have loved to have been coached by him just to see, and Bellamy, to see what their methods are. You know, I was coached by one of the best in Phil Gould, who had some fantastic ways of getting the best out of players, but I think Bellamy and Bennett are just next level. And you're right. Exactly what you say is precise, I think. I think he's you know, towing the line and treading water and probably saying to his players exactly that thing. Well, you know, history's against us, but there's always someone out there to change the course of history. And anyone that's got Wayne Bennett associated with their rugby league team, I would never count out.
I know they're the Bunnies, but they feel like almost a big cat lying in wait, just sort of sensing and just waiting. They said there's no need to go and win the comp now.
Big game players, man. We're only around 15 coming up, so another 10 rounds to go.
A lot of footy to go. One team that won't have to worry about playing finals, though, is the Brisbane Broncos. 38-16, they went down in Canberra on Saturday night against the Raiders, who, standing on the outside looking into the top eight, but Ricky Stewart, and it's funny because it's his word, he said they're rediscovering their mojo.
Everyone seems to rediscover their mojo against the Broncos.
We should start calling the Brisbane Mojos.
Just ask the Dragons the week before and Matt Dufty how good is it to play the Broncos. So, I can't get excited about anybody who beats the Broncos at the moment, and that's with all due respect. And they got a player sent off. Kobe Hetherington was sent off, which was bizarre. We all watched the game. We all knew it wasn't a send off. If anything, it was a clumsy, you know, it wasn't even clumsy on behalf of Hetherington, because Harare and I got ankle tapped, and all of a sudden he dropped like 3 meters.
You can't legislate for those drops. Like, you can't apply the rules uniformly.
You've got to use common sense. You've got to use common sense. There's no way that he have a swinging arm. There's no way that he went to maim anybody. He was just waiting there for the bloke to tackle him, you know, chest high. And Corey fell at least 2 or 3 feet. And all of a sudden he fell straight onto his shoulder. That's not a send-off in anyone's language. That's not a send-off in 1970s. That's not a send-off now. It was just a bad decision. We know that it was a bad decision. We haven't spoken about it much this week because
Doesn't warrant it.
Well, it's not going to change the outcome, is it? No. He's still sent off.
The Raiders do sit 10th, though, but level with the Dragons on points and with a game in hand with a bye to play. So Raiders by no means out of it after what's been a pretty rocky and rough and tough start to the season for them. Just a heads up to any Bunnies fans out there, be warned, MG has set a precedent. He will not get excited about you thumping the Broncos next round, okay? Round 17, Thursday night footy, Broncos hosting the Bunnies.
Oh, I'm calling that one.
MG will not be excited about your win, okay? Heads up.
No, I won't be.
Okay,
it's a fait accompli. I'll be more excited if the Broncos win.
Yes. Yeah, well, if. Although I don't think Wayne Bennett will let his Bunnies lose to his former club, the Broncos. Sunday. This one was a 42-16. You talk about dominant wins. The Melbourne Storm, just dominant. But Ken Mamalo, in his final game
Emotional. Yeah.
It's so emotional. I scored a hat trick.
Yep.
It just, and you could, I mean, you saw he was, for those that haven't seen it, openly crying on the field. Obviously, this club that is, he's done so much with and has played so many games for and achieved so much with, he didn't want to leave, but an opportunity has arisen with the West Tigers he couldn't say no to.
Yeah, and well done to Nathan Brown for playing him in his last game as well, because that was emotional. That was you know, obviously their performance was ordinary against the juggernaut that the Melbourne Storm is, but that was the one highlight. And at the end of the game, the tears were real. That shows you the passion of rugby league players. When you know for every player that you get playing for, all they're playing for is the bottom line, the corporate dollar. You'll get five Camomalos who play for the passion of the jersey, and that's what I love about the game. It's, you know, it brings all types, all characters, and Camomalo showed that it meant a lot to him leaving his beloved Warriors. But now he's going to the Tigers, which is an interesting one because, you know, they've got Jimmy Jett on one wing, Talau on the other, and Nofaluma. Don't forget,
didn't feel like they needed a winger.
No, unless they want to manufacture a centre. I'm not sure. Mamalo's not a centre, but Jimmy, well, I guess Jimmy the Jet can be. If, I don't know whether Jimmy the Jet signed for next year.
Well, and I think that's probably the thing, is I don't know whether Jimmy the Jet has a long-term future at the club. So, but on his form of late, hey, what is Cam Munster doing? Why is he kicking people?
Frustration. I don't think he's 100% fit at the moment. I just don't think that the guys in the game who are supreme athletes and they've got every stone covered, and they don't need the niggle, because it's usually when you're underdone that you try and find shortcuts in the game. And at the moment, Cam Munster just looks like he's playing at around 85 to 90% instead of 100%. So that always, you know, that brings out the little bits of niggle. He's done that twice in two games now, and I know Craig Bellamy wasn't happy about him doing it, so he'll be, you know, reprimanded from the head coach and move on to Origin at Suncorp, where they want him to star. He's got to be the star of Origin too. If he doesn't star, Queensland lose. Simple as that.
I'm not saying that he should have been copped a suspension for the one on the weekend, or necessarily the one in State of Origin, because the incidents in isolation, I mean, they're dumb. But maybe
you'd think, but if there was somebody else, if that was a Jack Hetherington doing that.
Well, but this is my point. Cam Munster has form in this arena. I mean, in the 2018 grand final, he kicked Joey Manu in the head. He got sent off for it, got sin binned off it. It's not like the NRL doesn't have that evidence on, or, you know, that incident on file. Surely this is an incident and an action. And as you say, it's out of frustration. Go back to the 2018 grand final. He was frustrated because the Storm were about to lose the grand final, and he just sinks a boot into Joey Manu's head. But I'm surprised there hasn't been more made of this. And maybe the NRL has put in a phone call to the club and to Cam and warned him. But this, with all the crackdown on head-high shots, when a player's lying on the ground trying to get up to play the ball, I would have thought the last thing this competition wants to see is anybody even remotely kicking somebody.
It's not a good look. Yeah, and it's, I think that, as I said, if it was somebody else, they would have probably reprimanded him better and maybe suspended him. But imagine the outcry if he gets suspended for Origin after something like that. It's, yeah. Look, I know what you mean. I get what you say. But I don't think it's, yeah. Look, I don't think anyone should be suspended for that, to be honest.
Sure. Fair enough. Righto, we roll along to the final game on Sunday. We've still got the Monday game to speak about, obviously. But the Parramatta Eels, 40-12, really flexing their muscle during this Origin period. Obviously, Junior Paulo playing a part in the New South Wales side. Reid Marnie would have been involved in Queensland if not for that shoulder injury. But with Clint Gutherson staying at club level, not involved with New South Wales at this point, Mitchell Moses, Dylan Brown back in the side, Regan Campbell-Gillard not a part of New South Wales either, they are making the most of having all their stars on the park.
Yeah, Mitchell Moses in particular, this was he was man of the match, scoring 20 points, just looked like he was in the zone. And when he does, that's how he plays. You know, we spoke on the podcast today about him and Gutho's little to-do, and him, you know, basically telling Gutho where to go on the field and whether or not I liked it or not. At first value, I didn't. At first sight, I don't like anyone arguing with another player on the field, because I think straight away that's when the dominoes start to fall. But reading today's postscript about the coach knowing all about it, the coach Brad Arthur saying that I'm worried when these two don't fight at training, because that's what they do. It's what they do to get each other up. They get the best out of each other. So that's if he's fine by it, and there's no, you know, it's not something you want in your game from Mitchell Moses. It's not something you want to see creep into your game when big things are about to happen and you don't get your way, because he's the overcaller. He's the man. He's the quarterback. You've got the wide receiver in Gutho just doing his thing, you know, running around the field looking for the ball, but he's Mr. Energetic. But the man with the ball, most times than not, is Mitchell Moses. So if he wants to overcall, and the overcalls say Eels, and he's calling for it, I think he wanted to take a quick tap, and Gutho wanted to take a shot, and that's kind of where the thing broke down. But yeah, look, the coach is fine by it. Mitchell Moses apologised to Gutho, and they both said how much they love playing with each other. So move on.
Yeah, I think you made a really good point there, MG. You say it's not something you want to see a lot of, and we haven't. This is, you know, tell me the last time we've seen an audible blow-up like that between Mitchell Moses and anybody.
Oh, the last one I saw, I think, was earlier in the year, Melbourne Storm, when I think Munster
and... Oh, that was Munster and
Brandon Smith.
Brandon Smith. But that's, to that point, like, let's not get carried away and make this a bigger issue than it is between Gutherson and Moses.
No.
This is the first time we've seen it.
It's called passion, man.
Exactly,
it's
right. Passion. And the irony is that when Mitchell Moses made that line break in the 47th minute, Gutho was there running support.
Yeah.
Mitchell didn't give him the ball. I like that. That was a little bit of, and you gave
cheekiness.
You gave the brother analogy in the show podcast today, which I thought was perfect. Because clearly Clint, the captain, is big brother, and Mitchell is younger brother who's been given a little bit of responsibility by dad, and he's going to flex it. He's got, no, big bro, I'm in charge out here. This is my time.
Sometimes big bro just needs to clip him over the ears and say, no, you do the dishes tonight, son. Here's the tea towel.
Getting back to Parramatta as a whole.
Going great.
They are going, after they had those couple of humbling losses.
Yep.
Where they went down to the Bunnies and they went down to, I can't remember who the other side is now off the top of my head. Back-to-back losses, and it was like, uh-oh, what's happening to the Eels here? They bounced back nicely. Brad Arthur must be pleased.
Yeah, and they're doing it kind of without any fanfare. Everyone's still talking about Melbourne Storm and Penrith, you know, and rightly so. You know, the Panthers... Melbourne now on top of the table, but I think that's the way they like it, Parramatta. I think they like that the fact that they're doing things their way, and they're doing it, as you said, with, you know, hopefully Reed Marnie back in a couple of weeks, and Campbell Gillard and Paul up front leading the way, and they've got a great back three with Madison and Papa Leahy and Nathan Brown. So Sean Lane doesn't even get a run; he's on the bench. And with Nia Corey, so they've got a strong bench, they've got a good halves, they've got a great spine. Yeah. And they're a danger team, no
Absolutely.
Doubt. Tigers, on the other hand, there's their disappointment again. You know, they seem to go one good week, two or three bad ones. One good week, two or three bad ones, and that's just not good enough in the NRL these days.
The yo-yos. It must be frustrating. Gee, it must be frustrating for Michael Maguire to see that inconsistency of effort.
A win against Parra would have put them on the springboard and put them on 12 points and would have been right there with the likes of the Manlys. But now staying on 10 points just puts them back in the quagmire.
And they fight against the Melbourne Storm this weekend in round 15.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck. Just quickly there, the Eels take on the Bulldogs this weekend. Now the Bulldogs will get to their win next, hard-fought one over the Dragons. But if the Eels, on paper, all things going as they should, win that game... Round 16, Penrith v Parramatta, Bluebet Stadium on the Friday night. That'll be a sellout.
Well, I think Friday night's game against the Roosters is just about sold out. So if you want to get tickets, get them today from Bluebet Stadium. That is because with the COVID restrictions, I think there's only 15,000 tickets for sale. So
you've been warned.
Snapped up.
Snapped up. Right. Final game, the Queen's Birthday, long weekend, Monday at Stadium Australia. The Bulldogs 28-6 win over St George Illawarra Dragons. The big talking point halfway through the game, it emerged that it was reported that Corey Norman has been given permission by the Dragons to basically move on. They won't be offered a contract for 2022. I don't know. Obviously, Corey knew before the game.
Yeah.
And maybe played like it too.
Yeah, I suppose you've got to have that certain amount of time of, you know, dropping the chin, because it's when you hear sad news, it's, you're only human, and especially from the guy who you've known since you've been a teenager and your current coach in Anthony Griffin when he delivers that news to you at training, saying that, you know, unfortunately, mate, there's no contract for you here next year. And so I suppose a bit of anxiety, a bit of panic jumps in straight away. But, oh, look, he didn't show it yesterday in the early stages of the game. He was great. He set up a try. But the Bulldogs got out to a two-point lead, and they basically they signaled their intentions from the get-go. They're there to play. I think they're the second best in the competition for completion rate. It's just a matter of trying to get the silky luster on the end of that, you know, them attacking raids. And yesterday they found an unlikely source in Jake Avarillo, who scored two great tries and looked dangerous every time he had the ball.
Their halves puzzle for next year, the performance of Jake Avarillo almost muddies the waters somewhat a little bit for Trent Barrett, doesn't it?
Well, I know young Flanagan played in the game before this yesterday for the Mounties, and they had a good win. But I think he's just, you know, he's still a young kid. I think young Flanagan's going to take time. Some kids, like Nathan Cleary, was, you know, good at 19, 18. You know, getting Sam Walker the same. It just takes a while for some halves to mature, and I think that's the go with Kyle Flanagan. I think he's going to be a good player. I think it's just going to take a little bit longer, but at the moment, with Nico Hines, they tried to sign him. I know they tried to sign other halves and 5/8s, but at the moment, when they've got Matt Burton coming, Matt Burton and Avarillo, at the moment, looks for me, that looks like they're half and 5/8 combination.
I guess the thing with Avarillo is he can play centre, can play wing. He's sort of just an outside back, and I imagine Trent Barrett relishes him making that decision for next year and beyond difficult for the club by putting in performances like he did.
Well, it was without Dallin Martini Zalesniak yesterday as well. He pulled out before the game, which meant Nick Meaney went to fullback. And you think, oh, geez, this is when the Dogs can't take another trick, they lose one of their star players international. But they were great. They were gritty. They were tough. And that's what you got to be to play footy. That's exactly what you got to be. You got to hold the ball and you got to tackle your ass off. And they did that yesterday.
Brisbane Broncos, all I'm saying is, I think you might be adding something else to your cutlery drawer again this year. I know you only just won your first wooden spoon last year, but
it doesn't look good, does it?
I'd have to sit down and really analyse the draw and your run home. But it just feels like the Bulldogs might have more wins in them in the back half of the year.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think that, look, on paper they haven't, because the Broncos team on paper is a lot more appealing. But, you know, we say it all the time, you don't win footy games on paper. And at the moment, the Doggies after that yesterday, that could give them a little bit of a sniff. You know, having a big point yesterday was Marshall King being back at hooker. He hadn't played since round 3. They've missed a real good number 9 attacking weapon. And yesterday, he just got players running onto the ball. He waited like a viper. Dummy went under the post untouched, which is a bad side for the Dragons. But I think this game yesterday says more about the Dogs' effort than the lack of from the Dragons.
I can see it coming down to round 25. MG, the West Tigers out at their cauldron, the fortress of Campbelltown Stadium, taking on the Bulldogs. Meanwhile, the Broncos hosting the Knights at Suncorp Stadium. Now, 10 rounds out, both of those are 50-50 games. And I feel like the wooden spoon could come down to the final round again.
Wow. I've got a feeling there's a couple more wins in the Doggies before then. I don't know. I'm not privy to their draw in front of me, like you went with the Broncos, but I don't know. They've got a couple of big players to come back. Ockenbore on the wing. He's like another back rower. You know, they just, Faitella Mariner has got to come back for the Doggies. They've got some artillery to come back, where the Broncos, on the other hand, every week they've got a different halves combination.
Oh, at this rate, they'll roll Lockie back out at some point.
Yeah, they have Alfie Lockie and the King playing lock.
There's your round 14 review podcast. Round 15 will be out later on this week.